One of our readers asked me, ever so gently, if I did not think it a bit grandiose to try to raise $50,000 this year. My answer was simple. Compared to our ultimate goals, no, it doesn't seem grandiose at all. There's a poetic moment in Paul Verhoeven's Starship Troopers, when Johnny Rico, who has just washed out of the mobile infantry, is leaving base. Suddenly, he sees people on the parade ground breaking formation and running. And, perhaps out of curiosity, perhaps out of a kind of herding or schooling instinct, he starts running along with them. "War! We're going to war!" one of his former comrades shouts. The scene beautifully communicates the feeling of being caught up in events, of being a tiny piece of driftwood carried along by the great surge of history. Of course, this is not something that only happens in times of war. Indeed, it happens all the time. It's like gravity, like the air we breathe. It's child's play to put bubble-headed aliens on screen. It takes a masterful filmmaker to make us experience and wonder at what is utterly close and commonplace. All of us, all of the time, are subjected to historical forces we cannot control. We are objects, not agents. Things are done to us, not by us. Most of our actions are piddling, reactive, and entirely ineffectual, at least if we try to go against the current. Somebody else establishes the pace, and we try to catch up. Somebody else sinks the ship, and we try to tread water. Somebody else tanks the economy, and we end up bailing them out. Somebody else opened the borders, and we just have to cope with the depressed wages and increased crime, corruption, ugliness, and alienation. That's life for most people most of the time. But there are people who exercise power and bear responsibility. The system doesn't just run itself. What would it be like to be a historical agent, not just one of their pawns? What would it be like to be the master of one's own destiny rather than a plaything of the powerful? What would it be like to live in a system that advances our individual and group interests rather than subordinates and sacrifices them? What would it be like to belong to a people that has a sense of destiny and is in control of how that destiny unfolds? The purpose of white nationalism is for whites to regain control of our destiny as a race, to make us collectively masters of our own fate. We're not egalitarians. We're not individualists. We understand that our powers and responsibilities differ. We understand that not everyone can exercise agency all the time. But our goal is to create a system in which the few govern in the interests of all, in which the limited agency of each individual is amplified rather than smothered by the social order. It seems like a tall order. But such systems are not utopias. We know they're possible because they have been actual. They have existed in history. They even exist in the present day in the Far East. We can, of course, improve upon them, but the blueprints already exist. The real question is, how do we get there from here? A related question is, how can one experience, in the present day, the world we are trying to create in the future? Because some of us will never live to see the promised land. Both questions have the same answer. By acting to bring about a white nationalist society, by participating in the white nationalist cause in whatever way possible, to whatever extent possible, we can create an ideal world and have a taste of it in the present day. I'm fond of the phrase that those who fight for the golden age live in it today. I don't mean this in a merely symbolic sense. It is a very real phenomenon. The world we are fighting for is one in which whites are masters of our fate, in which we have control of our destiny, in which we are agents, not objects, of history. Acting to create that world is taking control of your own destiny and working for the freedom of our people. Each white who moves from being a passive spectator to being an active agent of our cause brings us one step closer to victory. working to create a white nationalist society is to participate in some way in the society we wish to create. But what is to be done? Countercurrents has always stood for pluralism. There is not, quote-unquote, one right way to do this. I have consistently argued that our movement will function best if we try new approaches, seek to tailor our message to every different white constituency, and allow each individual to determine his own level of explicitness and involvement. But by the same token, I am always encouraging people to become more explicit and more involved, to get people outside their comfort zones, to become more radical, and not just in the sense of understanding things to their roots, but in the sense of being increasingly active, committed, and fanatical. The best thing is to be an explicit white nationalist. We need a lot more of them. The next best thing is to be a secret agent, working actively within the system to undermine it. The next best thing after that is to actively support those who are willing to do more than you. If you are not willing to do any of those things, then please at least do no harm. But for the love of everything good and beautiful in this world, you have to stop being passive consumers of free information on the internet, or mere kibitzers in online forums. That was the beginning for most of us, but it is only the beginning. And if it is the end of your involvement, then our race is going to die. One of the secrets of communism is that it mobilized enormous energy and dedication from people because its goals demanded them. They promised themselves the world, and they went about delivering it. Although manic grandiosity, along with malignant narcissism, is one of the most destructive personality disorders in our circles, we have to risk grandiosity. We have to put aside our humility, put aside our modesty, and entertain the possibility that we can become world historical individuals, that we can change the course of history, that we can save our race, that we can turn it from the path of extinction and return it to the path of godhood. And it's not just about saving the white race. It's about saving all life on Earth, which is the only life in the cosmos as far as we know. Because if our enemies win, this blue planet will someday be reduced to a dead cinder in space. You can save all the other endangered species by saving the most important one, our own. Yes, this cause is that important. And by moving our cause forward, you share in that importance. If your life lacks meaning and purpose, this is where you find them. There have been times when I wished that I had never gotten involved with white nationalism. I tend to focus on the negative, and I forget about the positive. Sometimes I brood over the fact that the craziest, crookedest, most loathsome people I've ever encountered have been white nationalists, forgetting that the finest people I know are white nationalists as well. My complaining finally angered a good friend, a secret agent who does as much as he can for the cause. He told me that I lead an enviable life, that I work full-time for the most important cause in the cosmos, that I can speak the truth as I see it for the rest of my days. Then he reminded me of the basic premise of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Buffy has superpowers and is part of a secret initiatic society doing battle with the forces of evil. Night after night, she is literally saving the world. And yet, all she wants to be is an ordinary high school cheerleader. Well, when you put it that way, I choose to fight evil and save the world. Allow yourself a grandiose moment, and then choose to join us.